23 here tonight, Proverbs 23. Here Solomon says, buy the truth and sell it not. Of course, this is counsel that Solomon is giving to Rehoboam. He says, buy the truth and sell it not, also wisdom and instruction and understanding. Notice that statement again, buy the truth and sell it not. Now, of course, when we go out and buy something, we think we need it. And in many cases, we find out that we really didn't need that as much as we thought. And so where does it end up? In the corner of the garage or whatever. And so after you start adding things to the corner of the garage and adding things to the corner of the garage, you finally realize, you know what? We need a garage sale. So you buy things, and then you sell things you no longer want. Is that correct? So you notice here what Solomon is saying, buy the truth and sell it not. Also wisdom, instruction, and understanding. So essentially what he's saying is somebody who's wanting to sell the truth, wanting to sell wisdom and instruction and understanding, it's because they don't want those things anymore. And I believe we're seeing a lot of that in our society, but in particular, it's kind of scary how much we're seeing it in so-called Christianity today. But Psalm 119 verse 30 says, I have chosen the way of truth. Think about that. It's a choice that we make. I want you to notice a few passages in the New Testament then as far as the truth. First of all, 1 Timothy chapter 3. 1 Timothy chapter 3. As Paul tells us that the local church has an important part in upholding the truth. 1 Timothy chapter 3 verses 14 through 16. Paul writes to Timothy. Of course, Timothy is a young preacher, and so he's emphasizing these things for Timothy's sake. But notice it says here, these things write I unto thee, hoping to come unto thee shortly. But if I tarry long, that thou mayest know how thou oughtest to behave thyself in the house of God. Now pause there just a moment. As we think about people not wanting the truth anymore, behavior has changed in modern-day Christianity because they no longer want the truth. Notice again, it says, how thou oughtest to behave thyself in the house of God, which is the church of the living God. Then notice here, the local church is the pillar and ground of the truth, the support pillar and the foundation of the truth. The local church has been given the opportunity and the privilege and the responsibility of guarding the truth. And of course, we find that truth in the Word of God. And then he gives a summarized doctrinal statement. And without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. Now, modern Bibles say he was manifest, but they don't in particular say that the Lord Jesus Christ was God in this case here. Notice here the emphasis, God was manifest in the flesh, justified in the spirit, seen of angels, preached unto the Gentiles, believed on in the world, received up into glory. So again, we see that the local church has a responsibility with the truth. Notice chapter 6 then. 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 20 and 21. O Timothy, keep that which is committed to thy trust, avoiding profane and vain babblings and oppositions of science falsely so called, which some professing have erred concerning the faith. Grace be with thee. Amen. Notice again, we are to keep or guard that which is committed to our trust. And again, in particular, we're looking at the idea of this truth that has been entrusted to us. And of course, then these profane and vain babblings and oppositions of science falsely so called will attack the truth. But again, what happens then as they do not guard this trust with the truth, some professing have erred concerning the faith. So error comes in because of these things. Also 2 Timothy chapter 4. Of course, again, these are challenges given to a preacher, a young preacher. 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 2. Preach the word, and of course, in the context of Judgment Day in verse 1, preach the word. Be instant in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. And they shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned unto fables. Now, I want you to notice again, it says, preach the word. As a preacher, I am to always be instant or ready, in season or out of season, whether it's convenient or not. You know, when you're running for your life in persecution, it's not very convenient. But there's many preachers who have had to do that over the centuries. But again, reprove, rebuke, and exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. People don't like that kind of preaching anymore. They don't want the preaching of the Word of God because of the conviction that it brings, and you know they'll have to change some things because of what the Bible says. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. Again, it says in verse 4, they shall turn their ears from the what? From the truth. They don't want to hear the truth anymore and are turned unto fables or stories. And let me just say this. I believe we have a lot of that in the Independent Baptist movement. They're not preaching the truth. They preach about the Bible, but then, you know, in many cases, a lot of preaching I've heard, you know, they'll read a passage, then you might as well close the Bible because we're not going to look at it again. Because they tell stories. In fact, I used to listen to one preacher quite a bit until here recently. I listened to one of his sermons that I had downloaded from sermonaudio.com. And basically, the only scripture we had was at the beginning. And then he told a bunch of stories. He told personal experiences and those kinds of things. And then he returned to the scriptures at the end. And let me just say this. I believe that's one reason why there's so much shallowness as far as doctrine in the Independent Baptist movement today. And in fact, I listen to, I don't know why I do this every once in a while. I'll listen to somebody because he has a debate or he addresses an Independent Baptist preacher. And so I'll listen to what he has to say. And I didn't end up listening to the end of it because it irritated me to that point where he groups everybody, this some Reformed Baptist that's got some online ministry and things, but he groups all Independent Baptists into the same package. And basically, that's one of the faults that he indicates as far as many. Of course, he spent some time in the Bible Baptist movement and everything, and so that's his reference point. But again, his whole point was that so many have thrown out systematic theology, they've thrown out doctrine to the point where now they believe anything. They don't study the Bible and so on and so forth. But again, many are turning their ears from the truth, even in the Independent Baptist movement. Here's what I want you to see also as I was doing some looking at this. Notice Jeremiah chapter 5. There's an interesting statement here as far as Israel is concerned and Judah. And I believe this is applicable to our day as well. Jeremiah chapter 5, verses 30 and 31. Here Jeremiah says, a wonderful and horrible thing is committed in the land. Here's what's happening in the nation of Israel. Verse 31, the prophets prophesy falsely, and the priests bear rule by their means. All right, so we have reference here to false prophets and false teachers and priests. But notice here it says, and my people love to have it so, and what will ye do in the end thereof? Notice that statement. There's false teaching and things going on. But notice, my people love to have it that way. That is why Joel Osteen and so many of these quote-unquote preachers today are so popular. Because the people in so-called Christianity love to have it so. They love compromise. We live in a day of compromise. So what happens when we reject truth? When a church or a believer rejects truth. First of all, there'll be a lack of sanctification. You don't need to turn there, but John 17:17 says, sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. When a church begins rejecting the Bible, they begin losing sanctification. Biblical standards and separation are thrown out. Let's be reminded tonight, because so many are no longer preaching separation. Let's be reminded of what 2 Corinthians chapter 6 says. 2 Corinthians chapter 6. And I believe I've mentioned this here. Fundamentalism is actually a Protestant type of movement, and that's why I don't necessarily claim myself to be a fundamentalist anymore after I've done a study of the history of that. And basically what happened was with fundamentalism, Baptists and Protestants and all that began working together to stand against liberalism that was coming into churches. Well, the problem is so-called fundamentals of the faith is a short list. Separation did not make it on the list. Immersion baptism did not make it on the list. Those are fundamentals that are necessary. So I don't claim to be a fundamentalist anymore. I claim to be an independent, separated Baptist. Notice what it says in 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 14, "Be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers, for what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness? And what communion hath light with darkness?" It's okay, you know, if you're opposing the issue of abortion. It's okay if you're working together on social issues, right? Well, that's why Jerry Falwell's ministry was so corrupted, because of the so-called moral majority. They were working with anyone who would stand against abortion. They were working with anyone who would stand against liberal politics. And because of that, they were corrupted because of working together with unbelievers. And what concord hath Christ with Belial, or the devil? Or what part hath he that believeth with an infidel? And what agreement hath the temple of God with idols? For ye are the temple of the living God, as God has said, I will dwell in them and walk in them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Wherefore come out from among them, and be ye separate, saith the Lord. Touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you. And I will be a father unto you, and ye shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord Almighty. I believe the thought continues in chapter 7, verse 1. Having therefore these promises, dearly beloved, the promises mentioned at the end of chapter 6, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God. Begin the sanctification, the separation, these biblical standards. Also, Ephesians chapter 5 reminds us of this as well. Ephesians chapter 5. As Paul is talking about the darkness all around us, there should be a distinction between us and unbelievers. Ephesians 5 verse 3, "The fornication, all uncleanness or covetousness, let it not once be named among you as become a saint." All right, so there's a way a saint should live. And again, if we reject the truth, we sell the truth, as Proverbs says, then we begin to move in the wrong direction toward these things. We're not living as becometh saints. Neither filthiness, nor foolish talking, nor jesting, which are not convenient, but rather giving of thanks. And let me just say, pause there and say this. I have heard preachers say that they stopped going to some preachers' meetings because all the cursing they heard before the preaching meeting started. The jokes that were going on. I mean, that's where we are today. Paul says that's not even to be among us at all. You know, some of these big-name preachers are not all they are appear to be in public. But notice again, filthiness, foolish talking, jesting. It's not, but rather giving of thanks. "For this ye know, that no whoremonger, nor unclean person, nor covetous man, who is an idolater, hath any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and of God." And let me just say this, in light of what I just said, that's why Pastor Smith in Fort Dodge, Iowa, says he doesn't attach their ministry to any one particular movement. Because if a movement goes bad, for example, like the BBF, if a movement goes bad, if a church fellowships only with that movement, as that movement goes bad, so does the church in many cases. And often the devil will target the Bible colleges to get into the local churches. "Let no man deceive you with vain words, for because of these things cometh the wrath of God upon the children of disobedience." Why do we want to be involved with anything that's going to bring God's wrath? "Be not ye therefore partakers with them. For ye were sometimes darkness, but now are ye light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. For the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness and righteousness and truth, proving what is acceptable unto the Lord." There's something that is acceptable and not acceptable to the Lord, obviously. "And have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them." I don't believe that that means that we are to study all that they do so that we can expose them. You know, Noah reproved his day just by being a preacher of righteousness. He wasn't a partaker in their evil deeds. "For it is a shame even to speak of those things which are done of them in secret." I think we know too much of what goes on in the world. "But all things that are reproved are made manifest by the light. For whatsoever doth make manifest is light. Wherefore he saith, Awake thou that sleepest, and arise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light." So again, a lack of separation is a result of rejecting or selling the truth. Another result of this is corruption of Scripture. Listen to me, 2 Corinthians chapter 2. 2 Corinthians chapter 2. "Because many have sold the truth in modern day, quote-unquote, Christianity, that's why we see so many of the modern perversions of Scripture. Things that are different are not the same." Now, I am not one, and this is one of the arguments that this man was saying as he was talking about an independent Baptist who, anyway, this man is against King James onlyism. I'll just tell you who he is. James White, who wrote the book King James Only. It's not a good thing and not a good reference as far as the King James Bible, but one of the arguments that he gives in relation to that is some have taken it to the extreme in saying that only the English King James Bible is Scripture. That's not accurate. I believe we should want something equivalent to this in every language around the world. You know, Peter Ruckman and some of those are some of the extremists that will say, you know, that the English corrects the Greek and all those kinds of things. That kind of ignorance is what gives them things to discredit everything as far as the King James Bible is concerned. But here's the point, though. Many are corrupting the Word of God. Notice it says here in 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 17, "For we are not as many which corrupt the Word of God, but as of sincerity, but as of God, in the sight of God, speak we in Christ." Notice many are corrupting the Word of God. And let me just say this. Things that are different are not the same. You know, that sounds logical. There's a book about the King James Bible with that title. Thousands of changes have been made from the Word of, you know, from the preserved Word of God. So again, we have to understand that when you start selling the truth, that's when all of these perversions started coming into Christianity. In fact, Jeremiah 23:36 speaks of prophets in that day that were perverting the words of the living God. So again, a rejection of truth leads to corruption of Scripture. Also a perversion of the gospel. Notice me, Galatians chapter 1. Galatians chapter 1. A perversion of the gospel. Of course, Mormons have a perversion of the gospel. Jehovah's Witnesses have a perversion of the gospel. I've seen some JWs out here recently with their bag of literature. Well, I'll tell you what, they're dressed up, suit and tie, and dressed up very nicely. That's exactly what 2 Corinthians says, is that they present themselves as ministers of light, but they're in actuality ministers of Satan. Roman Catholicism has a perversion of the gospel. Seventh-day Adventists, even much of Protestantism has a perversion of the gospel. But let me just say this, also many Baptists do. Many Baptists have a perversion of the gospel to the point if you ask people in the common person in the pew, what are you trusting in to get to heaven? And I believe this is why we're seeing so many of our young people that repeated a prayer and did not fully understand what the gospel was all about. Why so many of them have doubts later on. Many preachers will give you the idea that you say this prayer, you're saved. What is the gospel? 1 Corinthians 15 tells us what the gospel is. It's the death, burial, and resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's the gospel. I must believe that he died according to the scriptures for my sin, that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the scriptures. That is the gospel. Anything else is a perversion of that. Galatians chapter 1, verse 6, "I marvel that ye are so soon removed from him that called you into the grace of Christ unto another gospel, which is not another, but there be some that trouble you and would pervert the gospel of Christ." In fact, many of these Judaizers, quote-unquote, believed in Christ, as we see in Acts 15, but they added things to faith. Well, you have to do something else in order to be fully saved. "But though we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel unto you than that which we have preached unto you, let him be accursed." All right, so an angel from heaven. All right, so whether it's Angel Moroni with the Mormons or Gabriel with Islam, it doesn't matter. If anyone, and Paul, notice, included himself, "if I change my message, let me be accursed." Verse 9, "As we said before, so say I now again. If any man preach any other gospel unto you than that you have received, let him be accursed. For do I now persuade men or God? Do I seek to please men? For if I yet pleased men, I should not be the servant of Christ." So as people begin to sell the truth in our modern day, there's going to be a lack of separation or sanctification, corruption of Scripture, and a perversion of the gospel. So what are they replacing the truth with? Again, Proverbs says, "Buy the truth, sell it not." So when they're selling the truth, what is replacing the truth? First of all, psychology. Psalm 1:1 says that we are to not walk in the counsel of the ungodly. Now, here's what happens with so-called Christian psychology. They use just enough of the scriptures to make it sound like it's the truth. James Dobson is not a big fan of mine. James Dobson and others, they actually give you the idea. He's been around a long time, but they actually give you the idea that unless you have the professional counselor, the pastor is ill-equipped to minister to the needs of people. So in other words, God didn't have the answers for mankind. In fact, when people come to me for counseling, one of the questions I will ask them, how much have you gone to a psychologist or a psychiatrist or what some people call a shrink? In fact, it was interesting. There was an agnostic in a church a few years back that I was an interim pastor at, and I told the men of the church, I said, you have a heretic in the church membership. He had been in the membership for 10 years. And I was preaching some things that bothered him because it was the truth. And so he asked me for a meeting in the office, church office there, and I met with him for 2 hours. And he proceeded to tell me that he thought that creation is not a true account, that it's a parable. Abraham was a parable. Pretty much he wrote off all of Genesis. But you think about it, and again, he was a member of a Baptist church. But here's the point. He didn't want the answers from the Word of God, but he went to a shrink, as his wife called it. In fact, I found out later on that he started going crazy. But he had rejected the truth, and he still needed answers to life's problems. So he started going to a psychologist. You think about the root word of psychology, psych, that deals with the soul, our mind, emotions, and our will. It has nothing to do with the spirit. That's the problem with psychology. It does not deal with the root of the matter. I've used this illustration, and I've shared this with people as I deal with psychology. You know, if you were shot and you had a bullet inside of you, what do you want the doctor to do? This bullet is going to kill you. What do you want the doctor to do? Sew up the bullet hole or to do radical surgery to get the deadly element out? And I said, you know, psychology sews up the bullet hole. We see, we need the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, to do radical surgery. So again, they replace the truth with psychology, also with philosophy. Notice with me, Colossians chapter 2. Colossians chapter 2. Something else that we're seeing happen in Christianity today is the replacing the truth with philosophy. The word philosophy found in the New Testament actually is taken from a Greek word that speaks of a love of knowledge, but it carries with it an exaltation of reason. So in other words, we have to reason things out so we can fully understand it, rather than taking the truth for what it says. Notice Colossians chapter 2, verse 8. Beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit. Now the word spoil there, carries the, you know, is a word picture behind it with going into battle and being a victor and carrying away spoil. All right, so what Paul is saying here, using that Greek word, that philosophy and vain deceit and the things that he mentions in this verse will actually take things away from us. They'll spoil us in battle. Notice through philosophy and vain deceit, after the tradition of men, after the rudiments of the world and not after Christ. It has nothing to do with the truth of the Word of God. For in him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. So we see that this philosophy affects the doctrine of Christ. In fact, Gnosticism and various false teachings were behind the challenge here that Paul is giving with this. Some false teaching was in the first century even. Ye are complete in him, which is the head of all principality and power. In whom also ye are circumcised with a circumcision made without hands, and putting off the body the sins of the flesh by the circumcision of Christ, buried with him in baptism, wherein also ye are risen with him through the faith of the operation of God, who hath raised him from the dead. But again it says in verse 8, beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit. Again, these are all after the traditions of men, the rudiments of the world, and not after Christ. Again, that has nothing to do with the truth as found in the Lord Jesus Christ. All right, so philosophy is replacing truth today. Also, situational ethics. Basically, situational ethics says, what is the greater good of the majority? All right, so if we're facing this issue, what is going to be the best, most loving thing for the majority? That's what situational ethics are. The situation determines what is right and wrong, not God's truth. But again, that's why we have so much going on in our modern day of Christianity. In other words, the end justifies the means. That's why we see in Judges 21, it says, everyone did that which was right in their own eyes. Of course, in that particular case, it was because there was no king in Israel. No one was in charge of things, leading things. But again, situational ethics has replaced truth. Also, relativism. Remember Pilate, as he was talking to Jesus, asked Jesus a question. What is truth? You know why he asked that question, as you understand that historically? The Roman culture and the Greek culture was so filled with relativism, relative truth, that no one knew really what truth was. That's why the Areopagus egghead sat around on Mars Hill all day talking about the latest philosophies, the latest thing. So that's why they were interested in what the Apostle Paul had to say. In fact, he was probably, as I mentioned in Acts 17, he was probably on trial in essence and giving a defense of what he was doing. Like Socrates, they thought he was corrupting the youth of Athens. No, they were already corrupted with all the idolatry there. Relativism, I should say, basically says truth changes. Truth for one person may not be truth for another. That's why some people say, well, there's so many ways to get to heaven. You choose your way, I'll choose mine. That's why Billy Graham has gone into error. Because he has said, those who have not heard the name of Christ, God will save them another way. That's not what Jesus said. That's not what Acts 4:12 says. But again, relativism. We have so much relativism in modern-day Christianity. Relativism also is a rejection of moral absolutes. You know, thus saith the Lord does not fit with a relative truth. That's why we have so much of the ecumenical movement today. Minimize doctrine so that we can work together on social issues. But again, we see this relativism that's coming into modern-day Christianity. In fact, Amos 3:3 says, can two walk together except they be agreed? All right, so can we really walk together with a Catholic if we're not in agreement doctrinally? Can we truly walk together with a Protestant if we're not in agreement doctrinally? When we were in Clear Lake, Iowa, pastoring a church up there, in fact, our son Justin and Wendy, daughter-in-law Wendy, traveled through there and they stopped to see you know, some of the places, you know, where we used to live and all that, and I pastored there. But the local ministerial association thought they were going to do me an honor and put my name on their list of cooperating churches. You know, they just meant it to be a thing of welcoming me to the community. Well, my last name starts with B. And they had an alphabetical listing of all the cooperating pastors at the county fair. So my name was going to be near the top on their list. And I did not tell them that they could use my name. So I called up the Lutheran pastor who was married to a Baptist MK. And that was an interesting... I sat down and talked to him. I said, I didn't give you permission to add my name to your list. But the E-Free pastor cooperated with that. A Mormon elder was a part of that pastor's group. I'm trying to remember some of the liberal, ultra-liberal churches that were part of that group. But again, we can't be a part of all that because can two walk together except they be agreed? Well, you know, here's the statement that he made. We minimize doctrinal differences so that we can work together with social issues. I said, that's exactly why I cannot be a part of this group. That's why I do not want my name on your list. Because I said that Mormon out at the Mormon elder out at the Latter-day Saints Church, quote unquote, rejects the Bible truth about the Lord Jesus Christ. The Catholic priest has another way of salvation. I went down through the list. There's no way I can be a part of that. So buy the truth, sell it not. So many are selling out in these last days. I just want for us to have a little reminder, we can't sell the truth. We cannot compromise because in these last days, there is so much pressure to do that. Let's pray. Father, I want to thank you for this opportunity to gather here tonight. And Lord, I just pray that you would help us to hold fast to the truth in these last days. Father, so many churches are removing the name Baptist as an example. So many churches are compromising in their standards and compromising in the Bible that they use and so many things on down the line. And Father, in many cases, that's why we see so much moral depravity entering into churches today. Father, it's all a part of it. So Lord, help us to hold on to the truth and not have a garage sale selling the truth because we no longer want it. Lord, in wisdom, understanding, all of these things, I pray that you'd help us to value them. I pray in Jesus' name, amen.